This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate. Rasulullah, Habib Allah, Allah our God is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best, and give His best religion to them. Allah our God is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best, and give His best religion to them. Rasulullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين لا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear viewers, welcome to another live edition of our program Gardens of the Pious. And today's episode is number 751 in the series of Riyadu al-Salihin or Gardens of the Pious by Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. We're still in chapter number 732. This is the third episode in studying the bayan of what Allah the Almighty has prepared for the believers in paradise of His bounties. May Allah make us eligible for His bounties and to enter His paradise. The first hadith we have is a fascinating hadith. Hadith number 1880. The hadith is narrated by the great companion Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. And it is a sound hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim. And in this hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, describes the food and the execution and the worship of the people of paradise. عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل أهل الجنة فيها ويشربون ولا يتغوطون ولا يتمخطون ولا يبولون ولكن طعامهم ذلك جشاء كرشح المسك يلهمون التسبيح والتكبير كما يلهمون النفس. So in this sound hadith, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, gives us a glimpse over the nutrition and the food that the people of paradise will get to eat. Let me explain the general meaning of the hadith, then shed some light on each segment of the hadith. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said the inhabitants of Jannah, may Allah make us among them, will eat and drink therein, but they will not have to pass any execution. And they will not have to blow their noses, and they will not have to urinate or answer the call of nature. Their food will be digested through perspiration, like sweat, which will give out a smell of the musk, not the offensive smell of the sweat. They will be inspired to declare the praises of Allah, tasbih, freedom of any or from any imperfection, and takbir, the glorification of the greatness of the Almighty Allah, by saying Subhanallah, by saying Allahu Akbar, and the rest of the words of praises as easily as they breathe. Subhanallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about what kind of food, what kind of drink, what kind of execration, and what kind of dhikr or worship the dwellers of paradise will do. Before we discuss that, I would like to ask you. We've studied before that Ahlul Jannah لا يجوعون ولا يعطشون. They will never starve. They will never feel hungry. And they will never feel thirsty. And once they drink once from the basin of the Prophet ﷺ, it will conquer the thirst forever. So what is the purpose of eating variety of food? كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَانِيًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Eat and drink as much as you want. يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِآنِيَةٍ مِّنْ فِضَّةٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ. And the glasses and the cups of silver and gold will be passed on them, having the drink, whether the drink of wine or the drink of honey or the drink of milk or the drink of fresh water. What is the purpose? In the dunya, brothers and sisters, when your lovely wife says, honey, what would you like to eat today? How do you feel about it? She doesn't just feed you to live anything which is to fill your stomach with. Rather, when you go to an expensive restaurant and you're well off, they pass on the menu on each one of the guests. And sometimes I order something different than my wife, than my kids, or than my friends. Everyone, they order their preference. So it is not only about the nutrition, it's about the joy and the light of eating. I love this food. I love this kind of drink. I love the way this has been cooked. Not necessarily because I'm hungry, and not because my life is dependent on this kind of food or on feeding period. Because life in the hereafter is not like the life in the dunya. So you would not need to eat or drink, but rather eating and drinking will be simply a means of joy, delight, and happiness. And that's why, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا. You choose whatever you dream of. It will be delivered right in front of you, cooked in whichever way you like and you desire. So أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ يَأْكُلُونَ. And they eat and they drink, even though they are not in need for that. Then he said, وَلَا يَتَغَوَّطُونَ. How come? Once we were performing Hajj, and the Mufti, one of the Russian countries, gave us a gift, which was a small can of caviar. Then I came to know that this small can worth thousands of dollars. Oh my God, really? Yeah. So it's like, you know, you don't just eat it by itself. Anyway, you ask yourself, when you eat this caviar, which may be $3,000, $4,000, or $6,000, a small can, you eat it, you digest it, and you benefit out of it all, no execretion? No, there is no food on earth, no matter how expensive it is, how extracted it is, but it goes through the process of digestion. So the small intestine will absorb what is nutritive, what is beneficial to the body, and the rest will be passed on to the large intestine. Then it will be excreted through the rectum. So there must be excretion. We don't want this part, whether the fibers, whether the pectin, whether the unnecessary stuff. The small intestine would only take what is nutritive, and the rest is to be excreted. Likewise with the drink. The kidneys are functioning 24/7 to eliminate the poisons, the extra substances which the body doesn't need, to get rid of it, and then it will be passed through the urine. So that's why we have the process of urination and the process of defecation in order to get rid of the waste. In Jannah, there is no such thing. Not only that, there is no urination, there is no defecation, there is no bathroom, there is no excretion like the way we know or we're familiar with. Even the sputum and the mukhat, runny nose, and the saliva, none of that. So the Prophet ﷺ says, لا يتغوطون لا يتمخطون لا يبولون. You don't have to get a neckerchief or napkins to blow your nose. There is no runny nose. Subhanallah. So if this is the case, how will the process of excretion take place or no excretion at all? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about something, karashil misk, which is the sweat or perspiration. It will be excreted in the form of a sweat that has the smell of the musk. Very attractive, very pleasant. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, يُلْهَمُونَ التَّسْبِيحَ وَالتَّكْبِيرَ. He mentioned two types of dhikr. At-tasbih, which is to say subhanallah, which we have discussed many times before, that when you say subhanallah, you need to look into the meaning. Subhanallah, يعني, I declare that Allah is free from any imperfection. That is tasbih. So it is equivalent to the word of tawheed. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. He is the most perfect. He is free from any imperfection. What takbir? To glorify Allah's name by saying, Allahu Akbar. Indeed, Allah is the greatest. And what is in between? Alhamdulillah. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. So they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for pardoning them, for admitting them to Jannah, for giving them what they never dreamt of. So they praise Allah, they glorify His praise, they declare tasbih, Allah is free from any imperfection, they glorify the Almighty Allah. I thought once He said in Jannah there is no ibadah, because in the dunya you worship in order to prove that you are eligible to enter Jannah. Khalas, you're already a believer. So is there any salah or any forms of worship in Jannah? No, but a dhikr. And a dhikr is not because it's a duty that you owe, rather because it's a blessing that you enjoy. Look, when somebody says, I'm depressed, I'm overwhelmed with that, I have too many problems, I say, did you send the Durood Sharif upon the Prophet today? How many times did he say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad? Why? Because if you say it so many times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deliver you out of your hardship. When you make istighfar 100, couple hundred, or 1,000 times, Allah Almighty will ease your way. When you make dhikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve you out of the burden that you're carrying on your chest and it's suffocating you. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. Those who believe and their hearts find rest, tranquility and comfort in the remembrance of Allah. Indeed, in the remembrance of Allah, hearts do find rest. So worship here, or a dhikr, is not because it's a duty, or, oh my God, I have to do this so many times today, or I have to offer it at this time, or I missed it and I have to make it up. It is something that you acquire in order to enjoy and in order to increase your delight. The same way that, do you feel it when you're sitting, while eating, while drinking, while having sex, while sleeping, while doing anything, you're breathing. Do you stop breathing? No. You're airborne, you're breathing. You're landing with a parachute, you're breathing. You're in the hospital, you're breathing. You're asleep and dreaming, you're breathing. You know, it is constant. So many times, you don't even feel it. So why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it anything. Something that the body does without even paying attention to. It has become a part of the mechanism of the body to function, to live, to survive. Likewise, يُلْهَمُونَ الذِّكْرَ كَمَا يُلْهَمُونَ النَّفَسِ. It will be so easy for them and affordable, and they will enjoy as much as you enjoy inhaling and then exhaling in order to inhale again and then exhale again and inhale the oxygen and inhale and exhale the carbon dioxide and so on. The same way, the process will be part of your life. You're constantly celebrating the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your comfort, to increase your joy and delight, not because it's a burden or an ordainment. MashaAllah. I really can't wait to see this is happening. And may Allah the Almighty, even though our deeds are not enough to make us eligible, even though we're full of shortcomings, but we're very hopeful and we're very optimistic that the Almighty Allah is Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim and He will shower us with His mercy and then He will admit us to His Jannah to enjoy all of that without actually deserving it. May Allah make it easy for all of us to enter Jannah without previous reckoning nor torment. Hadith number 1881. Sound hadith agreed upon its authenticity. And this hadith is supported by an ayah of Surah Al-Sajdah, ayah number 17 of Surah Al-Sajdah, chapter number 32. So Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu in this hadith, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى أعددت لعبادي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر واقرأوا إن شئتم فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. And this hadith is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon its authenticity. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said that the Almighty Allah said, oh, so we're dealing with hadith qudusi, a sacred hadith. The Almighty Allah says in this hadith, I have prepared for my righteous servants what no eye have ever seen, what no ear have ever heard of, and what have never ever crossed anybody's mind. Because sometimes we daydream. I daydream a lot. I like to daydream. It comforts me. But of course, I'm also realistic, but it gives me comfort. When I think of Allah's promises, which shall pass, which shall come to pass. If it doesn't happen now, it will happen in the future. If it doesn't happen in my life, it will definitely happen in the hereafter. So when I keep thinking about it, no matter what you think of, this is not even near to what Allah has prepared for Ahlul Jannah. Because by the end, you can only daydream or think of something that it has similar in this life. Something that you were able to visualize. Something that you were able to comprehend. But Allah the Almighty said, I have prepared for my servants in heaven what no eye have ever seen, what no ear have ever heard of, and what have never ever crossed anybody's mind. He never thought of it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you wish, you may recite ayah number 17, chapter number 32, what is known as Surah Al-Sajdah, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةُ أَعْيُنٍ. No soul knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do in the dunya. And obviously, we spoke in the previous couple episodes that what they used to do, meaning that they did their best, they tried, and Allah the Almighty accepted their humble effort, their simple deeds, and He augmented the reward for them, and He pardoned the shortcomings and the lack of khushu'ah, and then He accepted it. So the qabool from Allah the Almighty is a sign of mercy. And no one shall enter heaven unless if he is eligible for Allah's mercy. And when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, even you, your good deeds are not enough to make you eligible to enter Jannah, he said, even me, except if Allah covers me with His mercy. So فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. Oh Allah, make us among them. Another hadith? Yeah, I believe we have a chance to take another hadith before the break. Hadith number 1882. And this hadith is also a sound hadith, and it is agreed upon its authenticity actually. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أول زمرة يدخلون الجنة على صورة القمر ليلة البدر ثم الذين يلونهم على أشد كوكب دري في السماء إضاءة لا يبولون ولا يتغوطون ولا يدفلون ولا يتمخطون أمشاطهم الذهب ورشحهم المسك ومجامرهم الألوة عود الطيب أزواجهم الحور العين على خلق رجل واحد على صورة أبيهم آدم 60 ذراعا في السماء. In another narration, which is also a sound narration, آنيتهم فيها الذهب ورشحهم المسك ولكل واحد منهم زوجتان يرى مخ ساقهما من وراء اللحم من الحسن لا اختلاف بينهم ولا تباغض قلوبهم قلب واحد يسبحون الله بكرة وعشية. So the meaning of this hadith with the two different narrations that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, the first batch of people to enter heaven will be shining like the moon on a full moon night. Then will come those who follow them, who will be like the most shining planet in the sky. They will not stand in need of answering the call of nature, urinating, or defecating, or spitting, or blowing their noses. Their combs will be made of gold, and their sweat will smell like the musk. In their censers, the aloe wood will be used, the Indian oud, which is the best of incense. Their wives will be large-eyed maidens. All men will be alike in the form of their father, Adam, peace be upon him, 60 cubits tall. So, in the other narration, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, their utensils will be of gold. Their perspiration will smell like musk. Every one of them will have two wives. The marrow of their bones, the bones of the wives' legs will be seen through the flesh out of excessive beauty and transparency. So the people of Jannah will neither have difference nor enmity among themselves. The hearts will be as if they were all having the same heart, one heart. And they will be glorifying Allah in the morning and in the afternoon. So this is also a glimpse over what Allah the Almighty has prepared for the people of paradise. How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to share with his companions what they could never imagine, in order to encourage them to stand up longer in worship, in salah, to be more generous and charitable in giving in charity, to focus more on their ibadah and to acquire khushu' and tranquility in their worship while they are performing tawaf, while they are running between as-safa and al-marwa, while they are fasting, while they are doing anything, so that they will sincere their deeds exclusively for the sake of Allah, because no one could ever afford to offer them anything near to what Allah the Almighty has prepared. Many people ask, Sheikh, how can I sincere my intention? How can I avoid riya or showing off? Read this Kabul Ahadith and imagine that Allah the Almighty is saying, I have prepared for you what no eye have ever seen, no ear have ever heard of, and what have never ever crossed anybody's mind. And then you're trying to please somebody else by showing off with a deed which is supposed to be exclusively for the Almighty Allah. Are they going to pay you? And how much will they be able to pay you? You are acquiring a worldly gain, but will they be able to save you or give you any benefit in the hereafter? No. As a matter of fact, if a person happened to pay any good deed which is supposed to be exclusively for Allah, meanwhile the person does this in order to acquire the pleasure of any of the creation of the Almighty Allah, what will happen as a result of that? What will happen? The Almighty Allah will not accept any part of it. Even if the person did 90% with sincerity and 10% of shown off, the Almighty Allah says, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك من أشرك بي شيئا تركته وشركة. I'm the richest of all. If any person happened to associate partners to me in worship, I'm not going to take anything of his deed. I would leave it all for those whom he associated with me. Go and acquire your reward from them. Such losers. What a waste. So that's why these ahadith should encourage us that before we do any deed, number one, to do the good deeds as much as we can. Because in the hadith, Allah the Almighty said, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ I have prepared for my righteous servants. Are you righteous enough to be eligible for what Allah has prepared for them? Are you? If not, then work harder. Try to catch up. عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ Only for the righteous servants. Number two, think about it. Don't you ever take the risk of trying to please anyone besides Allah when it comes to doing good deeds, because it will deprive you from the entire world and it will turn a curse against you. The first three people will be thrown in hellfire. One of them is a qari, a hafiz, a scholar, and a charitable person, and even a mujahid on the battlefield who died, where people assume that he died fi sabilillah, while it was only in order to gain another star, or in order to be recognized, get a medal, or so that they would name the street in his name, or to impress the girls, or whenever we're boarding the flight, they call upon the heroes. So I'm a hero. Allah the Almighty will say, go, go, go. Go take your word from those whom you try to please. Unfortunately, many people, including Muslims, in many Muslim countries, in the military, the idea of, why did I enroll in the military? Oh, just to get a job and get paid and secure my future and have a health plan, health coverage for myself and my family. What a loss. So you're supposed to sacrifice your life only for these worldly and lowly benefits? Huh? Subhanallah. So be careful, brothers and sisters. These preparations, which Allah the Almighty has mentioned in this ahadith, is not for anyone. It's only for the sincere, righteous servants of Allah. And then as Allah the Almighty spoke about in Surah Az-Zumar, Az-Zumar means the groups. وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا. أهل الجنة will not enter all at once. No. Wait a minute. There are categories. First should be served first. The foremost. المقربين. The foremost. Then our السابقين. The foremost. Then أهل اليمين. أصحاب اليمين. And so on. So Ahlul Jannah are not all the same. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the first zumra, the first patch, the first group of those who will enter Al-Jannah, their faces will be so bright. How bright? As bright as the brightness of the moon on a full moon night. You know, when we fast the 3 white days, we call them white. Because at night, we don't need to turn the light on in the streets. the light is already noor, especially on the 14th night when the moon is full, full moon night, mashallah. So when they enter Al-Jannah, each and every one of them, their faces will be like the moon on a full moon night. And the second patch, those next in order, the first patch, those who will enter Al-Jannah, without even reckoning those 70,000 and along with them, another 70,000 with each one of them, who shall enter Al-Jannah without reckoning, and obviously if there is no reckoning, there is no punishment. Then afterward, the second patch will enter Al-Jannah and their faces will be as bright as the brightness of a bright star in the planet. The brightest star. You know, in the hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the bracelets that a man from Ahlul Jannah will be wearing of gold will be so bright that if it shines on the dunya, it will override the light of the sun and the moon altogether. Subhanallah. And again, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about that they are not in need for answering the call of nature or for any execution, except that after eating this pure food, if there is anything to be execrated, it's not through defecation or urination or runny nose or spitting. No. Perspiration, sweat, which have the smell of the musk. They would have the bukhur, the incense of the best kind of oud, which you love in the dunya, the Indian oud. And then women, the least man would have two wives who would be so pure and transparent that you could see their bone marrow from through their legs, mashallah. And then their wives who were of the human beings in the dunya, the sisters who are righteous, will be more beautiful than any of them. And she will be the wife of her husband in the dunya. And if she didn't have a husband, Allah would choose for her one of the righteous husbands, or one of the prophets, or one of the messengers, to be a husband for her, and she will be the queen of all those hurul een, the wide, large-eyed, beautiful women whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared. So both men and women will be rewarded in Jannah, and it will be said to them, abide therein eternally. There is no fear upon you, nor shall you ever grieve. Brothers and sisters, it is time to take a short break and we'll be back inshallah in a few minutes. I would leave you to think about what the Almighty Allah has prepared for Ahlul Jannah. Please stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. In this segment, we open all our phone lines, which should appear on the bottom of your screen for your convenience. If you have any questions, please dial any of the following numbers. And we already have some callers on the line. I'd like to begin with Sister Farzana from the KSA. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Farzana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. I have two questions. Can you hear me?
Clearly, mashallah. Go ahead. Continue, please.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, like we like to go on safari. So it's usually with wild animals. So I hope it's okay. Is it okay in Islam, like, to go on, such things?
Yes, it is okay, Sister Farzana, but you just gotta be careful. It is very okay.
Okay.
Just be careful.
Okay.
And it is so beautiful, okay, not even only as means of having fun and spending a vacation, but wallahi as means of pondering over the beautiful creation of Allah. And I've done it several times, and I plan for the next time in advance. It's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless all your times. Go ahead. Your second question, please.
Ameen. Yes, yes. Sheikh, you know, my dream has been always to live in KSA. especially in Medina. And I have been always saying this dua that Allah marzukni shahadatan fi sabilika wa ja'al mauti bi baladi rasulika. And alhamdulillah, we have been living for 18 years. And out of that, 8 years in Medina. But this year, we had to come back. And ever since, you know, I have felt very sad. I know it's Allah's plans. We have to just, you know, be happy
for
with
you.
Whatever
A question
Allah.
For you, Farzana. A question for you. Did you choose so? Did you give preference to another place over Medina? Or you have been transferred, or your ikama expired, or sometimes they say you're already over a certain age, no more ikama for you.
It's like this. My husband was working there, and even I was teaching. And then, you know, like now it's high time that he also wanted to retire. That is the reason, I mean, we had to come back. Because of health problems and all these things. He had to retire. So, you know, it was like out of our hands. But I don't know, this feeling, I am always feeling very sad.
Of course, because, I don't blame you for being sad for leaving Medina. When we go for a short period of time for Umrah, once we say we're leaving tomorrow, it's a very sad moment. Very sad experience, and we miss Medina all the time. But I want you to imagine that if millions of Muslims were capable to live in Medina and they dropped everything in their hands and they just lived in Medina, would it be sufficient to encompass them? Of course not. It's not possible. So this is life. And as long as you did not choose to leave Medina, and this is something out of your hands, so there is no blame upon you. And alhamdulillah, nowadays it is very accessible, even with a tourist visa. You come as many times every year to visit Mecca and Medina and to do Umrah. So that should be some sort of, you know, consoling your sadness and making it up for you. But when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you can afford to live in Medina and die in it, then do so, because I shall intercede for those who will be buried in Medina. That did not hinder the companions from going out fi sabilillah. The companions, those who performed Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ, were over in the farewell Hajj on the 10th year. They were over 120,000 companions. Most of whom made hijrah. Most of whom went out, you know, to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and were not buried in Medina. That did not belittle their value. You have a mission. So, alhamdulillah, you chose to live in Medina and you were eager, and Allah blessed you with so many beautiful years there. Alhamdulillah. And if you had to leave and it wasn't your choice, there is no blame upon you. But you can visit every now and then. May Allah make it easy for all of us to go back to Medina, enjoy the prophetic masjid, enjoy visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and enjoy the beautiful stay in Medina. Thank you, Sister Farzana. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Nu'man from Bangladesh. Assalamu alaikum, Nu'man.
Alaikum assalam, sir. Sir, I saw a video in Singapore. I saw a video in Nas Delhi. In Singapore, they are collecting sales from chicken. Can without death, and after that they process it in lab and they make meat. So you should be
Akhi Nu'man, all what I was able to hear from you, that you said you saw my video. The rest is history, because your voice is breaking off badly. The connection is really bad. So you want to try using another line, please?
Hello?
Yeah, can you please try a different phone number?
No, I'm telling that in Singapore...
Well, this is what I was afraid of. The line you're using is not really good. You might be calling online, and that's why. Try a different line, please. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Fatima from the UK, welcome to Huda TV. Fatima, how can I help you?
Me and my cousin just wanted to ask you, if you're trying to learn Arabic, do you have any advice?
Yes, of course. In the UK, where do you live? Which part of the UK you live at?
We're in Bradford.
Okay.
England.
I know you in the UK in England. Like, you're not living in London itself, are you? Yeah, Fatima.
Yes.
Do you live in London itself? East London, Central London. Okay. Well, in this case, I will give you the alternative. MashaAllah, there are too many programs in order to learn Quran and Arabic online. Not taking advantage of your question to promote Huda Academy, but this is one of the programs. Mishka has a program. Open International University has a program. There are too many academies and programs online where you can actually learn Arabic and learn Quran without having to travel anywhere. And I highly recommend that every person who wants to learn their deen or just wants to learn Arabic, sign up in any of these programs, take any of these courses. After they run a test for you, they evaluate which course, which level should you be at, and you will do great, inshallah. So if you want, you can sign up with Huda Academy and learn Arabic. If you are in London, I would direct you to Al-Muntada Al-Islami, where you can actually attend a full-time school there, part-time school, weekend school, and you can learn Arabic from the tutors and the teachers there. If you have a nearby Arabic, fluent Arabic speaker, and give you private tutoring, that is also a good solution. Barakallah fikum. I feel very comfortable with the distant learning nowadays. It saves a lot of time. Actually, the couple years during the COVID were, with regards to learning and teaching and da'wah, what a blessing. Because alhamdulillah, all of us started doing everything online. So we didn't have to travel long distances and we were achieving the same or even better. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister Amina from United Arab Emirates.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I wanted to ask if it's permissible to write a book. I know his sister that have gone through a lot of hardships. She lost her mother when she was 3 years old. Her father had a lot of children. She wasn't treated right by her stepmothers and her sisters and brothers. So she went through a lot of things, and alhamdulillah, she's doing better now. She had clinical depression. She was in psychiatric hospital. But with the help from Allah, after accepting Qadr, she's doing well, and she's thinking about writing a book. And the book will contain the treatment from her family and also some of the bad things that she had done. But the moral of the book is going to be that accepting the Qadr of Allah and relying on Allah without having anyone to support you can take you out of depression and live a better life. Is that permissible?
Subhanallah, Amina, I was about to ask you about the purpose of writing the book. Then by the end you said it is to project the blessings and the power of accepting the Qadr of Allah and enduring the hardship with patience and the privilege of doing so. So this is an enough reason to make it definitely permissible. And hopefully she will be rewarded for encouraging others to overcome their difficulties and hardship through sharing her experience as well. Barakallahu fiki, Sister Amina. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Aisha from Pakistan, welcome to Huda TV, Aisha.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Sheikh, I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
And my first question is about splashes. after answering the call of nature, in which one is in doubt that is it pure or impure, because the surface is clean. So how could someone know is it pure or impure? Because seeds
what
in
surface?
Pakistan are designed in a way that, like seeds in Pakistan are designed in a way that minor chances
of splashing impurities from
splashes
within.
Can come up from the bottom to the tops.
Okay. Okay. So if it is, as you say, that the chances of splashing from the bottom to top is nil, then disregard these splashes and perceive them as from the water jug or the water hose or the water sprayer. Okay? And yes. Move on with that.
And check.
Yes, go ahead.
And my second question is about a video game. There's a video game GTA in which we are free will to go anywhere and can do certain mission. It's like real world, but there are girls and boys not in a proper dressing and there are some nudity. So can I play that?
The answer is no, because you already described what is in it. And what happens, you know, nowadays the social media, especially the Facebook, is playing a terrible game. So even when I'm in Mecca or Medina, ads keep popping up, sometimes as comics. Then afterward, they become real people. So when you allow this, and once it is detected on your system, it will flush your system, if you watch it once, if you accept it, with nudity and bad stuff. No means no. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you, Sister Aisha. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Mahmoud from Turkey. Assalamu alaikum, Mahmoud. Can you hear me? Assalamu alaikum, Mahmoud.
Wa alaikum salam.
Go ahead, I hear you, akhi.
I wanted to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
My question is that, alaikum salam, I wanted to ask a question. If a video game has female characters in it, alaikum salam, Sheikh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
If a video game has female characters in it, is it haram to play it? They're not sexualized. They only show the face and the hair.
Barakallahu feekum. And the answer to this question was just delivered a couple minutes ago when Sister Aisha was asking about the video games in general and what they contain. Barakallahu feekum, my dear viewers. We've just come to the end of today's show of Correct Ways of Guardians of the Pious. And until next time, I leave you all in the care and the protection of the Almighty Allah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah, our God, is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them. Allah, our God, is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. Born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about it in paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling the best with the cheapest price.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about hell and paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling their best with the cheapest price.